Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 12, 2016. All right, it's the 8th day of the 4th month, 2020. We started our first service today with a song entitled, How Great Thou Art. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe display. It sings, my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings, my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the bird sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great. And when I think that Yah his son not sparing to him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Yahshua shall come with the shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and will proclaim, my Yah, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, yeah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Timely greetings. We're going to do our study this morning, taken from Life is What We Make It, and that's the name of our study today. Life is what we make it. and that is Timely Greetings of Volume 1, Number 50, by the V.T. Harlock. July the 19th, 1947, he delivered this address. And so, we're going to do a prayer thought taken from Jeremiah 31 to start this off. And happy are we. Our memory word for our memory is a great, greater, and greatest. Those three words. Okay, now, in Jeremiah 31, it says that, at the same time saith Yahweh, will I be the Yahweh of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Now let's back up and read the last part of Jeremiah 30, starting at verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Yahweh? That's this governor that has was raised up in the midst of the congregation. And this governor is antitypical Elijah. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For the fierce anger of the Yahweh shall not return until he hath done it, and until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. Okay. Now, when did this whirlwind start? When did Yahweh start punishing the wicked? When he started the judgment of the living. And that started at Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Passover. So that's when these whirlwinds began whirling. And the first one that this it fell with pain upon the head of the Rutus W. Johnson. He's the first one that they fell with pain upon, starting the judgment of the living. And so he was classified then, and those that stayed with him, his family and everybody, they were classified as the wicked. The fierce anger of the Yahshua shall not return until he hath done it, until he hath performed the intents of his heart. Now once this starts in, once it started, he is punishing the wicked both that were separated by Ezekiel 9 and the Adventist Church, the spiritual house of Israel, and the division world, and the Gentile world out there. They're being punished every day. The headlines is horrible. News breaking every day about mass destruction. Okay, now we're going to go into Jeremiah 31. And this chapter is about the restoration of Israel. At the same time, saith Yahweh, will I be the Yahweh of all the families of Israel. That's your 12 tribes. 144,000 to start with. And then all your Gentile brethren that are to join them. To make up the whole house of Israel, and then all the resurrected of the house of Israel got to join them too. So, it says, Thus saith Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Isn't this amazing? Thus saith Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Now, what was that? When was that? That was at the end of the 40-year sojourn, wilderness wandering, and in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. 40 years later, they had a change of the guard. Moses passed the baton on to Joshua, his successor, and Joshua sanctified the Ark of the Covenant and the people that were 20 years and younger, and only Joshua and Caleb that was 20 years and older that came out of Egypt were allowed to enter into the Promised Land, with only those that was 20 years and younger when they came out of Egypt, because of the rebellion and what happened at Kadesh Barnea 3 months after they got out of Egypt. 40 years before. So it says, these are the ones that were left of the sword who have found grace in the wilderness. So they found grace in the wilderness. Well, the thing is, see, a Gilead center with its headquarters out in the desert, in the wilderness, if you will now, wilderness of the people, where our headquarters were. I was a member of that for 33 years. And when the judgment started at the ancient men before the house, I found grace. My wife found grace. And Alan DeLong found grace in the wilderness. We were the ones left of the sword, found grace in the wilderness, because we were classified as Israel. It says, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Now notice it says Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. It didn't say her. If it said her, you'd been talking about the whole church collectively. But when you say his, you're talking about one singular person. That was antitypical Jacob in this case. Okay? For the Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Now, here it is, see? He brings the judgment of the dead to a close. Closes out the gospel work for the Seventh-day Adventists. They had 158 years in having their part in sharing with the promoting of the everlasting gospel, the kingdom of heaven. Okay, it was brought to light through the Adventist church and the three feeding pastors, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. So it says, but whenever their work came to a close, he said the closing work for the Adventist Church, according to Ellen G. White, Volume 3 of the Testimonies, page 266-267, she says is a ceiling of the 144,000. And she said, read Ezekiel 9 for that closing work. So the Adventists had a closing work. And it says, and that's where this verse 4 of Jeremiah 31 comes in at. Again, he says, I will build thee. Again, see? He built the house of David with Brother Johnson, because he had the birthright. He had the first choice to see if he couldn't establish the kingdom of David in Antitype. And so he says, I give Brother Johnson the first opportunity in 1970. And he had 33 years to build and bring it to purification. I gave him 33 and a half years. But here in verse 4 of Jeremiah 31, it says, again I will build thee. Who is this thee? This is Israel that is identified as him up there in verse 2. This is that Israel that's identified as him, which is antitypical Jacob, which is the same thing as antitypical Elijah, in charge, which is the same thing as antitypical David. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Now, why did it call it, O Virgin of Israel? Now, the 144,000 are identified in Revelation 14 as virgins. Matthew 25 identifies them as the five wise virgins. Why are they virgins? Because they're not defiled with women. If they're not defiled with women, it shows that they're all males. The Jehovah says 144,000 are made up of male and female. I disagree. I disagree at this point vehemently. Everything in the Bible tends to show that you're dealing with a masculine gender here, because that him is a pronoun there in verse 2 of Jeremiah 31, referring to antitypical Israel, a singular term. And then it says in verse 4, it uses that thee, talking about a singular person, or it can talk about more than one when you use that thee. But I don't really believe that I can back that up that much. Because there in Zechariah 14, it says in verse 5, and the Yahweh Elohim shall come and all the saints with thee. And I've always taught before that thee meant the 144,000. But now I'm going to have to back up on that and say that thee talks about the leader of that army that he brings with him, and the leader of that army is antitypical David, his visible general that he is placed in charge of this army. So again he says in verse 4 of Jeremiah 31, and again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Now you can go read Amos chapter 9's prophecy on that, and that will back this up. And what is that? Raised up the tabernacle of David in Amos chapter 9? What is that? That's the same thing as what I'm reading here. O Virgin of Israel. In other words, whenever the house of David was born in 2002, it showed that they were signing a crown against the abomination of all the idolatry being performed by Brother Johnson and company there at Gilead Center. And so therefore, they had distanced themselves from all impurities that were being practiced in the church. And so that's how they were designated as virgins. Not defiled with women. Okay. And in this case, it's talking about a singular thee, T-H-E-E. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. See, he says, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances, and the dances of them that make merry. Now, where can you connect this here dances up to? You can connect it up when David danced before the people, when he was celebrating his victory over the Philistines. And that Saul had made him his number one general in charge of his army. And David was having victory after victory, and he was dancing before the Yahweh, dancing before the people. You remember the story. And so I think you can connect this up with this, go forth in the dances of them that make merry. So we're going to have victory over our enemies, and we're going to also celebrate. We're going to go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Now I have a cross reference that references with this here, Jeremiah 31, verse 4. And it's just like I suspected. It's in Psalms 149. And we're going to read 9 verses. That's all there is in Psalms 149. That corresponds with Jeremiah 31:4. Praise ye the Yahweh. Sing unto the Yahweh a new song. This is Psalms 149:1. And his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let the people praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Yahshua taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of Yahweh be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Yahshua, and Yahweh the Father. Now let's go back now to Jeremiah 31 verse 5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria, for the planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise you, and let us go up unto Zion, unto the Yahshua our King, and the Yahweh our Elohim, both of them, Father and Son, Yahshua our King, our Savior, better yet, and Yahweh the Father, our Elohim. For thus saith the Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nation. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. And a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplication. Will I lead them? I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Yahshua hath redeemed Jacob. And that this Jacob now is a singular term. In other words, you could say, for the Yahshua hath redeemed Israel. And Israel is a singular term when you use it as a name for Jacob. And ransomed him. Here's that him, a singular pronoun term, referring to this Jacob, which name was changed to Israel, from the hand of him that is stronger than he. Okay. Who was stronger than Jacob? His brother Esau, his twin brother, was born first. That was the one that's stronger than him. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together into the goodness of the Yahshua, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Yahshua. Thus saith the Yahshua, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now, we had our study yesterday with Vicky Hollow. We studied on this. It says Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And it said that Joseph was of the tribe of Ephraim. And Joseph was of the tribe of, Benjamin was of the tribe of Benjamin. So they had Ephraim, they had Joseph, which was part of the ten tribes when they separated in their day, and Benjamin's part of the two tribes, Judah. So who's Rachel weeping for? Symbolically, she's weeping for the whole house of Israel, the ten tribes and the two tribes. Thus saith Yahweh, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is a hope in thine end, saith Yahweh, that thy children shall come again unto their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed unto the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Yahweh of my Elohim, for thou art the for thou art the Yahshua my Savior, or Yahweh my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Now this is talking about Joseph. Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. When I say Ephraim, is the second born of Joseph down in Egypt. He's the son of Joseph, Okay, Manasseh was the firstborn. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Yahshua, or saith the Yahweh, the Father. Sit thee up waymarsh, make thee high heaps, sit thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest, turn again, O Virgin of Israel. Now here's that Virgin of Israel, which is the house of David with the 144,000. So he's admonishing this Virgin of Israel, the leadership of the house of David here in the 12th hour in the general living time. It says, turn again, O Virgin of Israel. Turn again unto these thy cities. See? You're in charge of these cities that were separated after Solomon's death. You had all those that went with Jeroboam and with the ten tribes north. You had all those cities of Judah that stayed in the south with Jerusalem as the headquarters. So it says, turn again to these thy cities. These are your cities. These are your cities. These cities are all in Israel today. But spiritually speaking, they're right here in the United States too, as well. This ran typical David was raised up here in the United States, not in the land of Israel. That's what you got to consider. We have a parallel between the two countries. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? Okay, so he's talking to Gilead sinner here. He's asking Gilead sinner, because it says the daughter is the daughter of the mother of the Adventist Church. Gilead sinner is one of her daughters. Carmel was another one of her daughters. Bashan was another one of her daughters. Okay, so the Adventist Church had three daughters: Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead. Believe it or not. Hosea had three siblings. The oldest one was Jezreel.
Okay.
Now Jezreel was over his two younger siblings, Ami and Ruami. Okay. And so Nation was the first sibling for the Adventist Church in our day, the first feeding pastor, so it was called the Seventh-day Adventist Church proper. But the second one was called Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Carmel. That was a daughter, a younger daughter of Bashan. A younger sibling of Bashan. Okay, let's go ahead. And Gilead Center was the last daughter, a sibling of Jezreel, Bashan. In other words, Jezreel represented Bashan today. Seventh-day Adventist. Ami and Ruami was a brother and a sister of his. Was a brother and a sister. Okay. So, and they were called, one of them was called a daughter. And that daughter was Gilead Center. Okay, so it says, O thou backsliding daughter, Gilead Center, for the Yahweh hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. We dealt with that in our last study. Thus saith the Yahshua of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, as yet, or the thus saith the Yahshua of the hosts, the King of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof. When I shall bring again their captivity, the Yahshua bless thee, O habitation of Jesse, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together. Now that's talking about all the cities of the 10 tribes up north and all the cities of Judah in the south. Together, husbandmen and they that go forth with the flock. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. Now those days are still in front of us. He's going to restore Israel. That's what the name of this chapter is, Restoration of Israel, just like it was in the time. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Yahweh. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. So now we're going to the part of where Yahweh makes a new covenant with his people here in the latter days. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know thee, Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remove their sin, remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Yahshua of hosts is his name. So we're talking about the sun here. So I guess this is really what we're talking. Yahweh is referring to his son here doing all of this. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahshua, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Okay, so the ordinances of Israel cannot change. It has to continue on. Thus saith the Yahshua, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahshua. Behold, the day is come, saith Yahshua, that the city shall be built unto the Yahweh from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about unto Goab. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the yes of the Yahweh. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. Life is what we make it. That's our name of our study today. 1947, V.T. Hall delivered this. To find out that life is really what we make it, it shall bring unto the attention seven examples beginning in Noah's day and ending in our day. Now this is amazing. I didn't plan what my study would be today, but upon arising early this morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And I was thinking, that I was reading the news last night about this ark of Noah that they have built a replica of here in the United States. Back, I believe it's in Indiana. And it's exactly the same specifications as pointed out in the Bible. 51 foot tall, 85 feet wide, 525 feet long, 3 stories high. And so I got them doing some adding. 51 feet tall is 17 times 3 is 51. 17 times 5 is 85. So the length and the height is multiplied by 17. 17 times 3 is 51. 17 times 5 is 85. And I got to thinking that the flood started on the 17th day of the second month. And it's amazing, these sevens that come in there. But anyway, that's another story. We'll deal with that maybe if we have to a little later on. And then I was reading the news yesterday about Yahweh being a mathematician, that the universe is based upon a higher math that man hasn't yet achieved unto, and that Yahshua is a mathematician. He does everything mathematically on everything. And I love math. That was my favorite. I was an auditor for 50 years in that secular world out there. And I still do auditing work once a year. I started in 1964 learning my trade, and I dealt with math for 50 years. And I love math. I love it. And I put numbers together in my head so quick. So when I think about anything, you know, somebody gives me a dimension or something, I start figuring a math equation to it. So anyway, he says, and then he impressed me to deal with as this was in the days of Noah, after I read about that ark last night. Now, they've also built an ark, an exact replica of Noah's ark, up there in the north. up there in Norwegian country, up around Sweden. And that ark may be on its way now, traveling down the ocean shoreline. I think it's going to stop here on the shoreline of the East Coast. Going to end up in Brazil, South America. My wife just tells me at this moment that ark that was traveling down the out there on the ocean heading for South America has collided with an ocean liner. Now, this is horrible. Now, what's the chances of that happening out in the middle of a big ocean? This is terrible. It's a hope that we're going to try to get more information on that. Because the man is going to go teach the Noah and the flood. He's going to prove that the Ark of Noah was true.
No, it's on the news.
Well, after reading the news on that Noah's Ark collision, collided with the Coast Guard a boat in the harbor, and as it's being towed, knocked a hole in the side of it above the waterline. So they pulled it on in, and it looked like they're going to have to repair it. Okay, let's go into now. Yahweh told me that the Holy Spirit impressed me that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They're going to be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the Yahweh comes and takes them away, and they know it not. No prayer. It says in our study, we're in a tiny reading, volume 1, number 50. Said, to find out that life is really what we make it, I shall bring to attention 7 examples, beginning in Noah's day and ending in our day. Example number 1, Noah was commanded to build an ark and to tell the world that a flood was to cover the earth. That only those who would get into the ark would escape alive. 120 years later, the animals were strangely seen to march two and two into the ark. Noah and his family also went in, while the rest of the world laughed and ridiculed. But when the rain began to pour, the situation ceased to be funny. Those outside the ark cried, mourned, pied. But all, no, it says mourn, or pled. But all perished as fools only because they had failed to give heed unto the present truth. Well, that's the same thing today. Same thing today, folks. Nothing has changed in that. Had failed to feed on meat in due season. What folly, what disaster. One would think that after the deluge, the world would have had great respect for religion and for the prophets of Yahweh. That was not the case, for the Antediluvians did not believe Noah's prediction that there was to be a flood. So they refused to go into the ark, but the flood came and they perished. And post-Diluvians did not believe his prediction that there was not to be another flood, so they set about to build the Tower of Babel. But when Yahweh saw the tower skyrocketing, he blasted the top of it and confounded the builder's language. That is, he blotted their own language from their minds and carved into them the languages of the day. Thus he caused the birth of various races and languages, which we today find even in the remotest parts of the earth. It was not Elohim's purpose that the people should stack themselves in the plains of Shinar, but that they should spread out and replenish the earth. And so when they refused to obey his command, he gave them the next best he had for them, and that they had to obey. Man's work independent of and contrary to Elohim, you see, is certain to meet with disaster. A house that is built on sand cannot survive a storm, and no man can possibly defeat Elohim's purpose for men. Do not make a fool of yourself by trying. It takes years in the schools of men to learn a language, but in the school of Yahweh, it takes but a moment. He can blot out one language from man's brains and carve in another, and at the same time change the features of his face and the color of his skin. Yes, Yahweh can do all this more quickly than a dentist can pull a tooth. But whether a change be made, for better or for worse, all depends upon the individual. Example number two. Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream. Being troubled with it, he summoned to the wise men of his realm to tell him the interpretation of it. There was nothing that they could do. At last, Daniel was brought before the king. After hearing the king's story of the dream, Daniel said, in Daniel 4:24, 26, and 28, "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my master the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. But whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule," came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. For the king heard the interpretation of it, and he understood the decree. Nevertheless, he was not willing to admit that there was one greater than he. And it came to pass that Daniel 4:29-30. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" What a statement to make after having heard Elohim's decree. The king had yet to learn that Elohim rules the nations, sets up kings, and disposes kings. Let us now hear Elohim's answer unto the king's father. Daniel 4:31-33. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, unto thee it is spoken, for the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men. Then thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will." The same hour was a thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Some even to this day do not realize that Elohim rules, that men are not independent of him, although they are permitted to choose whether or not to serve him. So it's not necessary for the Chaldean king to live with the beast of field. But as he could not learn his lesson by words in the easy way, he was removed from the palace and put into a corral there to learn by experience and the hard way. In the end of the 7 years after he had graduated, so to speak, from the Elohim School of Hard Knocks, the king walked back into his palace and said, Daniel 4:34-37, and at the end of the days I Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes and unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Okay, it says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according unto his will and the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in the pride he is able to abase. Through pride and disloyalty unto Elohim, Nebuchadnezzar made life miserable for himself, but at last he did awake. Example number 3, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom continued until the reign of his grandson, Belshazzar. Now Daniel says there in Daniel 5 that Belshazzar was a son of Nebuchadnezzar. But B.T. Hollis says he's the grandson. So you see, this is what I'm talking about. The Bible plainly says that Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. But here comes E.T. Hollis. He's been reading about the opinions of other people. And so he puts down his grandson, says, but I'm going to do it right. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom continued until the reign of his son, Belshazzar. Belshazzar knew his father's history, and his experience with Yahweh. But he failed to profit by it. He made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and commanded that the vessel which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem he brought to the feast, so that the king himself and his princes, wives, and concubines might drink therefrom. As soon as this revelry took place, there came forth fingers of a man's hand, which rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Then was Daniel brought before the king, and Daniel emphatically declared, Daniel 5:18-31, O thou king, the Most High Elohim gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in the pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Till he knew that the Most High Elohim ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Well, that's he's pointing Donald Trump over this kingdom here in the United States now. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Yahshua of heaven, or the Yahweh of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and Yahweh is thine, in whose hand thy breath is, and in whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Then was the prayer of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, many, many tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, many. Elohim hath numbered thy kingdom, and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Actually, it was Cyrus that was in charge of the army, that Darius was his commanding general. Okay, we're getting close to the end of our study. What a difference there would have been in the scroll of history if Belshazzar had profited by the priceless lesson which his father had learned. Yes, what a difference it would have made. This is the needful lesson for us all, kings and peasants alike. Example number 4, the Chaldean Empire became a Medo-Persian Empire. Not because the Medes and the Persians were stronger and mightier, but because Yahweh has so decreed. Okay, so let us see. It says in Isaiah 45:1, thus saith Yahweh unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Okay. This brings in verse 30. This hour contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11 took on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Now they have Indecision by Elijah David.
To this world of ancient history with a review of things.